I love Con Air. Can we talk about Con Air? Someone put Con Air in the shout outs.
Get off my plane. Oh, wait, no, that's a
Con Air Force One.
Air Force One.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Air Force One. Is that what that rap song's about?
What? What rap song?
The rap song Air Force One?
Oh, that Too Much Booty in the Pants or whatever that is?
No, that's Dance Too Much Booty in the Pants.
Mm. That's different.
That's true.
Hey there. Welcome to The Horrible Show, the video game podcast for horrible.com.
Would you mind unzipping your pants and removing your pants?
Hey there. Keep it going.
The Horrible Show. It's a video game podcast from horriblenight.com. It's Wednesday, September 21st, 2011. I'm your host, Justin Lacey, gamer tag J Devil, and we all wish we were playing Gears of War 3 right now, but I'm making everybody podcast because I'm the evil final boss of the website. Actually, no, joining me tonight, we've got Cole Monroe.
Hey.
We've got Ethan Moses.
Hello.
Got Justin Gifford.
This is interfering with my Gears of War 3 time.
Got Josh Lee.
We mostly talk about video games. Mostly.
And some dude in the background of Ethan's room. Make him yell something.
Hey.
We are putting off our Gears of War 3 marathon because we figured now would be a good time to discuss the games we've been playing up till now, because any other what we've been playing content will probably center around that game, because we heard it's kind of good and we kind of like the other ones. So be prepared for that going forward. But before we dive into the half dozen games that we've been playing, we'll kick things off with our game industry shout-outs, where everybody will point out something that's had their attention in the industry, and move on to our on-the-spot question brought to you by, well, not Josh Lee because he wasn't feeling creative today, but we do have a question to answer, and the dive into the list of games we've been playing, answering questions and trying to help you decide whether or not they're worth your time. Wrap things up with horriblenight.com updates. And then we'll take a break and come back for off-topic threesomes of the week. So let's get rolling, gentlemen. Let's talk about these shout-outs. You know what, Josh? I'm going to let you kick this off.
Let's talk about shout-outs.
Talk about them and give one.
I'd like to give a shout-out to Blizzard.
Who are they?
The video game company that makes Diablo 3. For not giving me a beta invite to the Diablo 3 video game. Oh, so because I have too many games to play. And if I had the Diablo 3 beta, I wouldn't play any of them. Maybe.
I had no idea they looked out for us like that.
Yeah. I know. I'm pretty sure they looked at my profile. Saw hours logged. They also logged into my Amazon account and looked at my shopping cart and wish list and orders already placed and said, oh, you know, maybe he probably doesn't need to have this right now. It might be cause a problem for him. Unfortunately, that means that all the people that do have it are going to be talking about it, and then I can't share their experiences.
You think that, kill them?
That's why the World of Warcraft subscription fee is so high, so that they can like independently track every single one of their customers as personally as they did for you.
You know, we really need to give Blizzard a shout out for looking after the little guy.
That's where all their money's going. Is
why are we making any goddamn money?
Market research to help us make better use of our time.
Personal analysts, they're called.
Millions of private detectives out there.
Did you say analysts? Dicks.
I thought they were anarchists.
Arrested Development references are appreciated. Cole, give a shout out to something.
Man, I had a great Limp Bizkit joke queued up because you said something about Roland.
Yeah!
But instead, I'm going to talk about... Yeah, there's no Limp Bizkit as a joke. Assassin's Creed Revelations buyers on day one get the first Assassin's Creed for free because it's awesome.
The way you're notes look. Let's see. You got AC colon R. Buyers get AC for free. I thought you were going to tell me about RC Pro-Ram, and I got excited.
What does ACR mean, RC Pro-Ram? Are you dyslexic?
I just glanced at the notes, and I saw RC, and my brain filled in Pro-Ram.
If I was going to talk about
PS3, and
you just broke the fourth wall. Wait.
Rare made RC Pro-Ram, and so then it would be on Xbox, and then it would be for Kinect. So no.
I don't know. That's why this is my expectations unrealistic.
And if I was talking about anything RC, it would be the cola. Because it's delicious.
Oh, it's not.
Yeah, it is.
I grew up with Royal Crown. It was good.
Anyway, before Josh derails us any further.
Especially warm. of all the sodas you had to drink warm, RC Cola was one of the better ones.
You're like a European soda drinker.
You don't have to drink a soda warm, ever.
Well,
you don't have to.
I don't dislike it either.
What were you going to say about Assassin's Creed? Is this what we're talking about?
Yeah, Assassin's Creed Revelations. If you buy that game for the PS3 on day one, you get the first Assassin's Creed for free. Only on PS3, because...
I feel really bad for the person that tries to go between those two games. Like, there's just such an evolution along all those games that the first game is basically unplayable at this point. So I feel like they're, penalizing the people by giving...
They should just include the Wikipedia page for the Assassin's Creed series up to that point.
A link to it, yeah. The YouTube video on the Blu-ray disc.
Yes, there you go.
Of telling the story. Hey, Gifford.
Hey, what?
Shout something.
I'm going to give shout-out to Epic, because even though I didn't get to play for very long, Gears of War 3 is just as sweet as I could have imagined. So way to go, guys. You delivered on, or you made all these promises about how great it was going to be. And in the short period of time I got to play this evening, so far it looks like you freaking delivered. So two thumbs up, guys.
So we all kind of hate Gifford right now because speaking of delivering on promises, none of our promises of actually getting the game today came through for any of us. So he's the only one that's played and keeps rubbing it in our faces. Or I'm just really sensitive about it and want to kind of single him out.
What? I hope your dog knocks over your Xbox and it scratches your disc.
It's okay, because he has a second one pre-ordered.
Oh, shit. Yeah.
For anybody out there waiting for their copy, Gifford has 50 copies just for no apparent reason. So.
Does anybody have his address? We could give that out.
He found some of that Lacy domain register money.
Oh, shit. Give me $9,000 worth of Gears of War 3 pre-orders, please.
Did you own Quixster.com?
God. Jesus Christ. Well, I'll tell you that if you want to come over and take my extra copy of Gears of War 3, which I don't actually have, take your pick between fighting an actual locust and Spencer. And my money's on Spencer.
How big of a locust?
Maybe that's where they'll take Gears of War from here on out. You'll start playing as dogs. I don't know if that will sell, but anyway. Ethan, give a shout out. Okay, that was good enough.
There we go. See you guys next week.
Moving on.
I'm still laughing about dogs.
I wanted to give a shout out to a dinosaur game that looks pretty cool. Final Carnage. It's a game about dinosaurs and humans fighting them. And it reminded me of that scene in Jurassic Park where Robert Muldoon ventured out into the woods knowing very well what the velociraptors were capable of, and yet he still ran right into a trap. Put on by the velociraptors. Now, this would make a lot more sense to people out there in radio land, right? This is radio? Something like that. I just have to watch the video. I'll link to it. I'll link to the video so you can see it. But, yeah.
At least we got a Muldoon reference in the podcast.
Is that the guy with the shotgun?
No, he's the lawyer. I just remember there's a lawyer joke about him.
No, he's Australian.
Oh, I'm
just... clever girl. Yeah. Yep.
He's the clever girls guy? My apologies.
Clever girl! Yeah. He doesn't say it exactly like that, but...
Pretty close.
My shout-out's gonna...
Hunted. Yeah, he says that too.
My shout-out is going to Aliens Infestation, because Ethan also noticed this week that the trailers for that game look awesome. For anyone that hasn't been paying attention, it's essentially Metroid meets Aliens for your DS.
I'm a dick.
Not Aliens 4.
No.
You said, it sounded like you said Aliens 4.
Sorry, I didn't mean to bring up those memories for you.
I couldn't have written a more, I don't know, speculative
less informed
article than I did. So I apologize. That game actually looks really cool.
You basically stated the article that you didn't know anything about the game, but just assumed because they're making another Aliens game, it's probably going to suck.
Well, they made a bunch of Disney games. They made, what, The Three Musketeers and Barbie? I mean, come on. Like, you know, this track record, what are you going to do?
Well, this is Way Forward, who made the most recent Blood Rain Betrayal game. And they
Constantly get that, by the way?
I got it. It's fun, and it's really fucking hard. So that's why there's not a review on our site, because I haven't had enough time to get good at it, to beat it.
Why do I ask questions of you if you got that game?
Well, I'm really good at buying games lately. I'm just not so good at playing them.
Yeah. I'm really boners over this new Aliens game. If you could tell by my Newt reference in the intro, it looks so good. And Way Forward makes awesome games. I love side scrollers, and I love Metroid.
I said Metroid. Yeah.
And I love Aliens. Oh,
I caught your Newt reference, Josh.
Oh. It was solid.
But apparently, like during this game, so during the exploration of this game, the Marines that are in your group, they can get captured and killed, and when they get killed, they never come back. So you have to go on missions to actually like save them. And
it's a reference to Friday the 13th on the NES, I think.
Oh yeah, I mean that was a good game.
Sure, they're trying to invoke that.
Wasn't that one of the hardest games ever?
Yeah,
it's not hard. It was dumb too.
It was training.
Broken.
Oh, broken. You guys are broken.
That's right. Is that commenting? Are you commenting on my childhood?
Maybe.
Like the home?
I'm really defensive about stuff. Really bad NES games.
Wow. It's got personal.
I gotta
taking it to a new level.
Take off my Facebook friend list.
I'm going to defriend you.
I'll defriend you first, man. I'll write something mean on your Twitter.
Only creepers scroll down to older entries on somebody's wall.
What?
Just think about it. Think about it.
All right. On the spot question time. This was, I think, since Josh didn't do his job of coming up with a simple question, we came together with this.
What's your favorite game that has poop in it?
See, this is what we're having to deal with. So you can understand why our question ended up being, what's your, well, it's not even a question. That's
what we can formulate it.
That's a prompt. No, candy.
Let me ask it at least.
No, you're not allowed to talk, poop man. What is your worst video game release date experience?
Call him Poop Man.
Cole.
getting Metal Gear Solid 4 at the midnight release at a Game Crazy. It was filled with guys who wouldn't leave the store and go play their game. They just wanted to hang out and talk to the register, the cashier who was trying to get the line through so he could go home and go to bed. And weaving my way through those guys was pretty awful, and listening to them talk because I didn't get there first in line, so I had to wait for a little while. And
Cole, how tall are you?
6'2".
He's a tall.
And you're not like scrawny. Like, why? How come you didn't apply like the Coltrane?
Because I'm nice.
Shit.
He's big, but he's a video game nerd.
Yeah, but I could kick all the video game nerds' asses that were in front of me that night.
And the, yeah.
That night, anyway.
Well, how'd that compare to your final? Didn't you have a Final Fantasy line?
Yeah, I talked about Final Fantasy already a couple times, so I wanted to go with a different one. But it was in the same town, and there was one girl at the Final Fantasy one, and she was buying the game for her boyfriend. No girls at the MGS4 midnight release. So they were both pretty freaking bad.
Well, let's go to the cop outs here and start with Ethan.
I'm pretty pissed right now because of Gifford and his, interference with me being able to play Gears of War 3 because my best friend of all time, who I haven't seen for 2 years, comes into town expecting to have a midnight or all night play session. And, sorry, I had to disappoint you, Matt, you know. Welcome back to town. No video games for us, so we had to drink all the time.
That's horrible.
I know.
I'm really sorry.
You could watch somebody's live stream.
Hey, Josh, what's your worst release date experience?
Man, I just can't think of any. I think it's always been so great. Yeah, because I have Gears of War 3 right here. And Oh, wait, I don't. Fuck! Oh, God. Okay, so this is how today went down. And this was, I was planning on getting it, you know, like release date. And usually something's like I really want to have it day of, I'll hit up, you know, like GameStop or Best Buy or whatever, just locally, just so I don't have to fuck with shipping because you never know what's going to happen, you know. But that deal that Gifford and Doc Pizzle pointed out on Twitter with Amazon, it was like, well, $60, $20 credit, free release day shipping. Like, all right, this is worth doing. Well, on my way out the door this morning, there was a package the size of Amazon packages for video games.
Oh, no.
Right outside my door. I pick it up. I'm like, yes, man, he came early. They never come that early. That's fucking awesome. I get in my car, throw it in the passenger seat, drive to work, whatever. At work, a few times, I was actually tweeting about, you know, like, oh, I've got it. A couple of you guys are going, like, oh, I don't have it, whatever. And I was kind of gloating a little bit, rounding up some co-op buddies for tonight, all that kind of stuff. Fast forward to me getting home, walk in the door. I go like, yeah, here we go. Like, let's like open this thing up. I'll smell the package before I, you know, get ready for the show.
You smell the package?
Oh, don't judge him.
Don't.
Jocks love smelling packages.
High five, Cole. Actually, was a good alley-oop, buddy.
The thing is, it's true, like in every possible way. So. And I flip the box over, and I see the label, and it has my girlfriend's name on it. And
then that's what happens when you live in sin, dude.
And I kind of feel
Housewives season 5 or something like that.
right. And I kind of shake it, and you know, it's like that's not a video game. And then I look on the table, and there's a sticker from UPS that says we left the package at the office,
at the
apartment office. And I look at my girlfriend, and I go, oh my God, please tell me you got the you went to the office and got the package before they closed. And she goes, oh my God. And like, I'm like, oh my God, no, this didn't happen. She's like, I'm sorry. I meant to go.
No!
Yeah.
Well,
she didn't know. I mean, why would she go do it? She actually was going to go do it. And that which would have been awesome and super nice. But, oh my God. So it's sitting, it's only like, I don't know, like 100 feet away from me right now. And it's locked up and I can't get it.
Well, I won't go into my most disappointing Gears of War 3 release date experience, but I didn't find out. Amazon just updated my shipping status, and it's in Seattle right now, which is not
Seattle,
very close to Indianapolis, so I don't think I'm getting it tonight. They actually updated it.
Did you put your hotel address when you ordered
it on PAX? We heard your PAX podcast. Thought we'd give you – no, they didn't listen to that. Gifford, how about your
best contingent
release date experience? That was bad.
Because I'm not. Well, I did not go at midnight to get Alpha Protocol, but I had pre-ordered it because everything I read about it before it came out was great. Like, oh, this looks awesome! I can be Jason with the three JBs. I could be James Bond, Jack Bauer, or Jason Bourne. Hey, that sounds freaking sweet. You know, like, it sounds great. And I get there, and I'm getting ready to pick it up. And this is when the manager of the GameStop, like, still loved games and knew what they were talking about. They've since been fired, I assume, since they knew what they were talking about. I got there, and I was like, yeah, I'm here to pick up Alpha Protocol. And she kind of looked at me, and she goes, are you sure? And I went, well, I pre-ordered it, and I got a phone call. She's like, I'm just going to tell you right now, I don't think you want that. Again, it's one of those, you're going to have to provide some more fucking detail, because I'm really excited about this game. She's like, it's not good. Okay. And then she started to explain, like, it wasn't just the plot, like, it was broken. And yeah, so I...
this is how you met your fiancé.
No.
She saved my life.
But I transferred my credit to something else. I don't know, but I was really disappointed.
Did you transfer it to Homefront?
You know what? It's possible. So if you want to know what game is going to suck, just find out what I've recently transferred a GameStop credit to.
Wait, you have Gears of War pre-ordered, right?
In like, well, yeah, but I already have that. I'm going to transfer that pre-order credit to something else.
Oh, okay.
And so, whatever I transfer it to, don't buy it.
That was kind of a feel-good story. Because you'd end up not having to pay $60 for Alpha Protocol.
But I was really disappointed that Alpha Protocol wasn't awesome.
Okay. Maybe. My story, actually...
My answer sucks. Fine.
No, mine's not as dramatic as Cole's or the Gear stories, but my pride was kind of hurt in this instance when I'm a every other or every third season Madden player, and back when Madden 10 came out, I did not pre-order it because I never pre-order a Madden game, and I talked myself into it the last minute on release day. So I had the unfortunate incident of walking into a GameStop expecting I could just pick it up because they should have, hundreds of copies of Madden because Madden players are obsessed. And no, they didn't have any copies of Madden, and I had to endure the kind of worst GameStop ridicule I've ever experienced as far as the you should have pre-ordered it guilt for a game that I never want to pre-order amongst a bunch of people I didn't really want to be associated with. So it was one of my low gamer points.
My question is, like, why, if you're going to get it, did you get it at midnight or try to go midnight?
No, I just, it that GameStop was, yeah, no, it was the day of the release. It was like,
why don't you go to Target?
I think I went to lunchtime. Well, it was just because in that instant, the GameStop was closest.
I see. So I was surprised you didn't tell your DJ Hero story.
I remember. Oh, that was just funny yeah. And sad. But
I want to hear it if it's funny or sad.
How many people were at the DJ Hero launch? Justin?
The DJ Hero midnight release party.
Yeah.
Me.
Wow.
Yep. Yeah, that game really panned out.
Did they have giveaways lined up and all that crap they do normally?
No. I think they. They realized before I did.
Like, here's like 50 stickers.
Yeah. It was funny. It's like, you guys are doing a midnight release. I was like, yeah. I was like, okay. Just kept hanging out my car until someone showed up and they unlocked the door and I walked in and we had a good laugh. But anyway, joke's on them. I had to play DJ Hero all night.
How much did you pay for that?
You don't want to know. Oh, the saddest part of that story is I scratched the disc the next day. So think through that. This game has just come out. It's only available in bundles with the instrument, the disc instrument, and so the only way you can get one is you have to buy the full thing again. So we won't talk about how much money I've spent on the DJ Hero franchise. All right, let's move on to happier stories. Let's talk about some games that we've been playing and I'm assuming enjoying. Well, we'll let Gifford, how about you kick off this game, but I know you're working on a review, and so Josh can kind of give some other thoughts there.
Okay, without spoiling, I'm going to try and not spoil any of the brilliant literary lines for my review. But Deus Ex is one of my the original is one of my favorite gaming experiences of all time, even though it's entirely single player. It was brilliantly written and it was brilliantly done, especially for coming out 11 years ago. And although there was another Deus Ex, we don't speak of that. Deus Ex Human Revolution, you know, it's hard to come back after 11 years and stay true to the original and provide this experience for people who remember it, Duke Nukem. But they really came through. It's beautiful, it's fun, it's hard, which is something I kind of bemoan sometimes. It's more like they're an interactive movie experience. Games, that is, but
Excuse you. Damn.
Spencer also likes it, by the way. It's fantastic. Do I have some minor gripes about it? Absolutely. But I spent a lot of time getting through it. I had a lot of fun getting through it. Leveling up scales really well. You never forget that you're a human. You don't ever feel like you're a semi-god in powered armor. The story's great. They maintained the split story ending without trying to add something really new and crazy. I really, really, really liked it. And I'm excited to write a review on it because it's one of those games, you know, we talk about, especially Ethan and I wax eloquent about Eternal Darkness. Deus Ex for me is another one of those games where it's like, man, that game was incredible. I wish somebody would do something with this franchise. And then Eidos and Square Enix did. And they did it well. So I'll hand the rest of this off to Josh, but just damn.
Josh, can you start off with, did you play the original?
I did.
Okay, yeah. Just curious.
Although, you know, I got to be honest, I never beat it.
It was freaking hard. And
yeah,
huge.
Well, it was one of those games like there was a lot to it, and that's the kind of game where I can spend like a lot of time on without progressing really far. You know, whether it's replaying a section to do it perfectly and I'm not really that kind of guy, but it's in that kind of game, it's really fun to do that.
The first one, well, both of them lent themselves to that. And
yeah,
to be fair,
absolutely.
I was a freshman in college, so it's not like I was going to class.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, you know, kind of everything Gifford said, because that's it's really good. And I've talked about this before. I think it was the last week, maybe mentioned that it was, you know, just kind of how I really easily get sucked into the world and the story and all that. But I'm still not like super far. I'm probably maybe 2/3 in. I think I'm about to go to the next, the third area. But
there's 15 stages, if that gives you any hint, from like when you load. There's 15 acts. So there's three.
There's three areas, right?
So, three acts and 15 scenes.
All right. Yeah. Well, but it's I keep just running into like all these side quests, and I spend a ton of time on it, and I'm running around just kind of soaking it in, and it is like just even the side quest, and I'm not sure sometimes if it's something that's gonna, you know, tie into like the main narrative or not, but they do a really good job of kind of making me want to do all that other stuff. Like I must have spent a couple of hours just on some quest, like busting into like a nightclub or something, and I don't even think I did it right, but I completed it. Like, you know, like I think it was expecting me to go in the front door and kind of like schmooze a little bit and talk my way through a bunch of stuff, and I ended up going through a back door in this thing, and I didn't really talk to anybody. I ended up just sneaking around, and I'm playing very kind of stealthy. Dude, and I try not to kill people a whole lot, but this is one of those cases where I ended up, by the end of it, I actually killed literally everyone in this nightclub, and it was like a pile of like 40 bodies all on top of each other in one hallway.
I know the level you're talking about.
Yeah, it was like I went through, I was sneaking around, I was just kind of exploring, and all of a sudden I stumbled upon something I guess I was supposed to find out, and it was like, oh, completed the quest. Like, oh, shit, I didn't even go through the front door like and talk to all the people in the main club part. I was in like the back offices and things, crawling through vents. And on my way out, all these dudes someone sees me coming out of the back room knowing that I wasn't supposed to be there, gets shitty, pulls out a gun, and I spend the next 10 minutes – just kind of sneaking around, systematically killing every single person because they're all after me. And I just would kill someone, drag them around a corner, pile the body up, wait for the next guy to come around the corner and kill them. And it really was just a pile of bodies. I should have looted them first, though, because it was hard to collect all the cash out of their pockets when they're at the bottom of a big pile.
I think I'm going to use that story as blackmail for you one day, because if I cut out all the parts of your reference to Deus Ex...
Now, anyway. Is that a first world problem?
No.
My real question is
that's Deus Ex.
I've got Deus Ex sitting here, still wrapped. I have not unwrapped it, and I've been a little hesitant to get into it just because it's kind of a heady game. And as far as like, when did you get sucked into the game? I've heard that the intro is kind of slow, and when does it really kick in? Like, when will I be hooked and I won't look back?
It took me probably 3 hours before I really got into it. And it took me till sometime in the second act before I was like, holy shit, this game's incredible.
Gotcha.
My experience.
I was just going to say, I never had any sense of grime, you know?
Josh, what was your experience?
No, for me, and I didn't even, it's been a while since I played Deus Ex, and I never did. I mentioned that those guys putting out the high res mod and stuff like that, and I never actually did fire that up. But so not having any reference from the first game, so I wasn't riding some like big nostalgia wave. I don't feel like, but right from the get go, I was in it. I mean, the whole like intro kind of level thing. It's I think the graphics, and I'm playing on PC, but the graphics are really good, and that world looks pretty, you know, it's very detailed, and it's, you know, it's got that futuristic kind of, I mean, that kind of setting really kind of grabs me anyways. And there's just so much flavor. Future. Yeah. Yeah. But, so it's got some, it's like, you know, it's cyberpunky, and, I don't know, man, I got into it, and that my first session was like 4 hours. So there's that.
I think cyberpunky Brewster. Sorry.
Well, what with like, space tape to
he just said cyber
down her giant boobs.
That's where my
Josh, I will tell you what I think. One thing that bothered me was for some reason they decided to change the control map from like a standard first person, like a standard FPS, and that screwed with me for like that entire intro.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so
I'm keyboard mouse, like, so I wouldn't know.
That's by far my biggest like flat out gripe is they screwed with the control map for no good reason, basically.
Can you spoil something for me?
Yes.
Something small. Can you hook up with the helicopter pilot chick?
No, you can't.
Damn. I'm a sucker for good romance in a video game.
Obviously,
is hooking up good romance, or is that just hooking up?
Yes, it is.
Ask our silent participant if that's good romance.
I think that's a separate podcast.
Spencer? Spencer doesn't know anything.
Spencer's not silent.
He's neutered.
All right, let's change gears here. Coleman, what's your first game?
Not Gears of War. Segway. terribly done. Although I have been playing Gears of War 2 a little bit. Portal 2 is a game I've been playing.
Terrible.
it's a video game for the Xbox 360, the version I'm playing. Could be one of the best gaming experiences I've had in a very, very long time.
Did it surprise you?
I wouldn't say it surprised me. It was just, I don't know, I guess since I kind of waited a little while to get it, kind of heard some talk out there and saying how good it was, but it was definitely leaps and bounds better than the first one. It's just I played it for like an hour the first time I got it, just because I had other things to do, and then beat it in the next time I played it. I beat it in two different sittings. So I was just like, holy shit! It was just addicting. The humor was great. I rarely laugh out loud at a video game and was doing it all the time. luckily, nobody was here. My wife to judge me, anyway.
She would have thought it was funny, dude.
Yeah, she would have. She would have really liked the game. I'm actually going to try to convince her to play it, even though she doesn't like those type of games. But I think she would, since it's kind of a puzzly game, she might get into it. But yeah, it's, man, I don't know. I have an article brewing on Thursday. I don't really want to
spoil it
too much, but I'll just give you a hint. It could be my game of the year.
Nice.
Whoa.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Wait a second.
Whoa. Yeah.
Yeah, before mega release fall hits.
Doesn't it feel like that game came out last year?
It does, but it came out in, what, February or something like that?
But it came out this year.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it was... I don't remember.
Spring. Springtime. But yeah, it's... I mean, it...
Mega Spring.
Mega Spring. Mega well, Release
kinda Spring. It kind of was a Mega Release Spring this year.
Yeah, it's getting that way.
Yeah, so I don't know. Like, if nobody... If you guys aren't into Portal or haven't played any, like, you must. It's an absolute must play, and you can thank me later and buy shirts from the Horrible Night Swag Shop. to thank us for giving you suggestions on video games to play.
I think I beat Portal 2 in two sittings. Josh, did you play through it?
Oh yeah. Two sittings for me. Yep. Yeah. It was amazing.
Gifford and Ethan, did you guys play it yet? I don't think so.
We need to co-op that shit.
Yeah, we do. Okay. No, I was just curious because I don't know of anyone that has played that game in like more than three sittings, really. Like, it hooks you, and it's almost set up like the way those levels are set up. You could almost play one, put it down, come back,
right.
Play one.
Yeah.
But everybody just they power through it because they just, you know, I thought I knew what to expect as far as just like humor, story, and gameplay wise, but it still managed to surprise me and make me want to see more.
And dude, the freaking end is so awesome.
Yeah.
It's so awesome.
You know, the puzzles are so good that when you finally figure one out and you move on to the next thing, at least for me, I got the feeling of, holy shit, what are they going to do next? Because that was so good. You know, I wanted to see that next one. That's what pushed me through. It's just a really good puzzle game.
Did you ever find yourself like getting stuck on a level because you're trying to use the new things they provide you and you forgot that you had a portal gun?
Yes, because that
happened to me a couple times.
Oh, yeah,
kind of. Yeah, yeah. I forgot about the basics several times.
Yeah, yeah.
Giant weapon in front of me. I forgot what I was gonna say.
Sorry.
I've got something. If you are a console only guy, can you play? Does Portal 1 in a box? Can you?
Orange Box.
You can download it for $15 on Xbox Live. That's how I have it.
Okay.
Yeah, it was on Orange Box and XBLA.
Yeah. So that, I mean, that's, I played it like shit earlier this year, actually. I played it in like January.
How are the controls? Like,
they're good.
I can imagine playing that game with.
I think Portal 1 would be harder.
Portal 1 is a little harder, especially when you're trying to do the, you know, you're jumping into, try to fall into a portal to shoot out of another portal. Sometimes that's a little tricky with a controller, but Portal 2 is like butter, baby.
I think they balanced it for that reason. There wasn't a lot of like exact timing stuff you had to do. It was more just lining up your shots. So, but that game's still really, really awesome. I'm glad you brought that back up because I think I said this last week or last time we talked about the game. I just remember I was smiling the entire damn time I was playing that game. So,
well, yeah, and I think I said to you, or on the podcast, I was like, you know, playing through the first part of the game, I had seen it in like online in a video, and playing through it myself, it still made me laugh, even though I'd already heard the jokes. So the sense of humor of it is just awesome.
It's Wheatley. It's the writing.
Yeah,
and the delivery by Stephen Merchant.
Yep.
Yeah.
So funny.
And the last thing I was going to say is there's just something about a game that, I don't know, that pushes you to the edge where you kind of want to cheat or like look up the solution to something, but you just know you absolutely can't. And like, for some reason, that's why I respect Portal so much. Is like, I was always tempted to, I can't figure this out, but I would just take a break and come back and figure it out, and it's just so much more satisfying that way. And some games just, they're not worth it. They're not worth figuring out. But that's, Portal is just all about, that kind of satisfaction you get when you solve it.
Yeah, that happened to me definitely, especially like I had forgotten that I had a portal gun, and I was getting so frustrated with the level that I turned it off and thought of the solution like at night when I was laying in bed. So I went back the next day and got it done. But yeah,
I have a portal gun.
That happens. Yes. At work.
What, Ethan?
So that happens to me at work all the time.
You have a portal gun at work?
Yeah, that's what I do. I do that in my real life. That's why that game doesn't appeal to me, because I do that every single day.
That's why he has such a high success rate with his clients.
Yep. Just, yeah.
throws them through portals.
Uh-huh. what kind of job is this?
A portal job. It's magical. It's magical. So I do magical stuff for a job.
Waste disposal.
He'll tell you offline. Surprisingly, go ahead.
No, I shouldn't.
All right.
Thanks, Josh.
Surprisingly, the game I've played the most that I got a dose of at PAX has been one of the Xbox Live indie games that was available before I even went to PAX, apparently. But Solar 2 was in the PAX 10, and it's also available on Steam. And it's just one of those very ambient experience games where you basically take an asteroid from the size of an asteroid up through being a planet to being a star to being a black hole. And so it's just one of those games where you lose track of time as you're playing it. And it was a very relaxing game, but also I had a lot of fun with it because once you get used to like the physics and how just kind of navigating through the galaxies and universes work, it's very, very calming. And it was like I would always play it when I didn't know how much time I had to do something before, you know, this is after the move, that lots of stuff going around my house. And so it was just kind of I'm playing a game and this is fun. And then 3 hours would go by. So anyway, I've been playing the hell out of this game, which for me, it says a lot because indie games don't have achievements. And I have a pile of unplayed backlog games with achievement points waiting for me to give them some attention, but I could not pull myself away from Solar 2.
No, I'm not going to lie. I'm surprised that you love this game so much. I mean,
I feel like there's a whole side of my gamer psyche that you just don't understand.
Yeah. I get the Kirby side. I just, like, this one I was like, wow, Lacey loves this game? Like, because I enjoy it too. But
yeah.
I was not expecting you to dig it as much as you did.
Did you explain what it was and I just missed that, or are we just what type of game it is? So,
like, basically you're just kind of dropped into the galaxy, to the universe, right?
Uh-huh.
You just start out as an asteroid and you control the asteroid, and it's got like physics and inertia and that kind of stuff, where you slam into other asteroids to slowly build your size up until you become a planet. And then when you become a planet, you pull asteroids into your orbit and gather mass until you become a life planet. And
so it's kind of like Katamari mixed with asteroids.
Yeah. Well done.
Flavoring of that. Yep.
Now, like 3 minutes into my explanation, they finally understand what it is. Thank you. it's just hard to explain, but it's just like I said, it's got very ambient music and each major phase of your life cycle, there's like half a dozen missions or 12 missions or whatever. And the funny thing is, like, there's this avatar that's just basically a blocky looking face that will give you missions if you choose to do them, whether you have to go destroy a planet full of skunks or survive like tons of asteroids coming at you and that kind of thing. And so the missions are all over the place, but he gives you like very simple 2-line instructions, and then he's very snarky, and it's kind of almost like he's God, and he's like making you do things that you can't really tell if you're doing good or evil, and he is just toying with you. And there was something about the sense of humor of that character, as subtle as it is just, like I said, 2 lines of text per mission or whatever, that it was just cracking me up the entire time. So that kept me coming back, because I played through the entire life cycle till I built up to a black hole and just sucked everything up, and then I went back and started doing all the missions. So I've kind of had 2 major playthroughs with it. And so you can, you know, you basically, when you become a star, you actually build up like a solar system around you of like 6 planets that all can support life. And when you support life, they have like spaceships that go out and shoot things and run into other planets that have life. And
occasionally make it a pain in the ass because they blow up all the asteroids.
Yeah. And like I said, I just lost track of time playing the game.
Well, I think something else that says good things about the game is you know, I'm the achievement horror completionist. I haven't even played a single mission. I've just been floating around, yeah, like, building my planet. Like, no missions, just sort of, well, it's very zen.
Yeah.
As the genre is called.
It's a good game to play after you've abused prescription medication.
I just I was just playing it because I didn't know what other game to choose, and it was just kind of like, I'll play this until I figure out if I'm in the adventure or first person shooter mode.
That's exactly how I played this game too, which is amazing. It was just like, you know, and it just seemed like such a big process to be a planet, man. You know, that's a lot to, like, you know, invest in, and we just casually fly around as a planet when it, you know, going and fighting some guy is one thing, but being a planet. You know?
That's what I do for my job.
It's just wild. It's just really wild.
I had no idea we had such interesting jobs.
Can you unlock Carl Sagan as a playable character?
Cosmos!
He's a black hole.
You can, but he just gets really, really stoned all the time.
Well, anyway, Solar 2, like I said, it's available on Steam and the Xbox Live Indie Games, so check that out. I might do a review of it sometime in the future. But let's move on to Ethan's game.
Hey, it's me. It's Ethan. So when the show begins, all of that was fodder for the cutting room floor, everyone.
Okay, next up is...
I've been wanting to beat Red Dead Redemption before I jump into Undead Nightmare, but I'm spending way too much time hunting little animals in that game, and I don't think I'm going to see the conclusion.
Understand.
I just think, you know, I'll just let me try this. Let me try the zombie aspect of it out. Wow, I really like it.
What a shock.
I know. I was gonna say
that's my lock of 2011.
I saw some comments about Ethan and zombies today that, like, if anybody should be burnt out on him, it should be him. So actually, when he says it's worth playing, it kind of stands out to me more at this point. But.
Well, I don't think I'll ever be burnt out on zombies, though, which is unfortunate because people are going to be burnt out on me talking about games about zombies. So eventually there's going to be that alienation. But Undead Nightmare is just so well done for a DLC because it's got that really, you know, kind of cheesy humor about it. You know, it's like a really dire situation, but no one really seems to be taking it all that seriously. You know, like, people are scared, clearly, but, you know, John Marston's pretty casual about the whole situation, you know? It's just interesting to see that landscape, and it just, not a whole lot happens physically to change the landscape, but once you add zombies and zombie, you know, animals to it, it just looks different. You know, it looks a lot more bleak. You know, those little abandoned towns just have so much more substance to them once they're, you know, filled with the undead. And
oh gosh, are the grizzly bears zombies?
Yeah. Oh, there's, yeah.
Oh no.
Oh, yeah. I'm just toying around.
That's explosive rifles for.
Oh, well, no. In the main game, I haven't even gotten the grizzly bears yet, so I'm just, you know, toiling around, hanging out, like, zombies are tough, but, you know, I've got the dead eye. I'm cool. And then a fucking zombie grizzly bear just flies out of the woods.
Oh, my God.
Shit.
Wings? He has wings?
Zombie grizzly bear!
Well, you know, metaphoric flying. He was fast. He was running fast.
That would
fast.
Freak me out more. Flying zombie grizzly bears.
No.
I just shit myself.
But yeah, no, it's really well done. Now, but I have just a huge issue, and I wrote about this in an article a few weeks back, but... this is kind of a spoiler.
You killed Yetis.
I know, man. I'm pissed off about that shit. Because here's the issue is, I mean, you know how sad that part of the game is? I mean, like, my wife was in tears watching me play this. She was physically upset because this Sasquatch, and it's a Sasquatch because Yeti is of Asian descent.
My cryptozoology
credentials. I'm not, you know, skunk ape is Southern United States, but anyway, that's beside the point.
I thought it was skunk ape.
But could you imagine being the last year species? The last year species, man. And you're just sitting there hanging out, and then some fucking asshole walks up and shoots all your buddies. And so...
Marston friend?
No, not at all, man. And I ended up killing that Sasquatch. You see, I almost said Yeti. God damn it, Gifford, you're fucking everything up tonight.
You know what? Now I know what you did, a public service, because now I know not to kill the Sasquatch.
Don't kill the Sasquatch. Everybody,
even though a Sasquatch is native Pacific Northwest, but whatever.
Don't listen to that fucking guy in the middle
with zombies in the Old West.
He's a crazy man.
Does he attack you?
No, the guy, oh, there's these Sasquatch has been eating the kid children. And, you know, I've got a soft spot for children. When I heard that Sasquatch was eating children, I was like, you know, and I already have a bias towards Sasquatches and Bigfoots and skunk apes and Yetis and, you know, the variety of other creatures along that, you know, that class of animal. But, my bias got the best of me, and I learned a big, solid lesson playing that game. So, but the game's really
fun. Kill the cryptids.
Don't touch them. Because think about it. All these zombies are attacking. Those Sasquatches could have aided the people of those towns, man. Could you imagine that? Like, zombies are a big deal, but having a Sasquatch come rolling in? Fucking, you know, 5 deep?
Sasquatch. Yeah, zombie bear, fuck you. I got a living Sasquatch.
Hell yeah, man. Fuck that bear up, you know? They find bears split in half in the wilderness because of Sasquatches. That's not true. I completely made it up. But you can imagine, you know, if that was the case.
I think you have one incident like that every episode now. It's not true. I made that up. But
if anybody hates the Sasquatch, just make them watch Harry and the Hendersons.
Oh, yeah.
And they'll change.
Could you
it'll
do
change.
That in the Old West? That might
if you
be
had a
serious,
fucking DeLorean, you could.
That'd be some well, serious
yeah, I guess
fourth
so.
Wall shit.
Yeah.
If an undead nightmare, you could take one of the citizens and make them watch Harry the Hendersons.
Harry and the Hendersons DLC.
John Marston has the option of taking this quest or watching Harry and the Hendersons and avoiding it altogether. That would be good. That would really help out. That would help me out in that situation.
Problem is, you'd have to use like Zune rentals, and you only get the movie for like 24 hours.
Yeah.
I don't know how that works with time travel.
It's a bit complicated.
Yeah.
Bit complicated. Yeah, it's a cool game. I don't even think I talked about the gameplay of it. Yeah, it's pretty fun. So
yeah, how's the actual zombie side? Like, is that...
You know, it's good, man. The Wild West setting is well done. I mean, zombies fit really quite well because, I mean, nowadays you've got machine guns and you can, you know, body armor, and it's pretty tough to... I mean, realistically, zombies in real life would not be as much of a threat as you really think, other than like the contagion aspect of it. You know, physically, I mean, we'd probably fuck zombies up pretty quickly. But in the Wild West, you know, you had your six shooters. You had six shots, and then you got to reload. And it's not like you just pop a clip in and go at it. You got to spin that little barrel and go back at it, you know. And it's a little bit more intense, you know.
Now, hang on just a minute. When Red Dead Redemption is set, John Browning has already made the ultimate sidearm, which is a clip-based weapon. I just feel necessary to point that out.
Well, okay, man. I understand. You know what I mean.
I know what you mean.
Let's not debate realistic handguns in a video game with the zombie.
You can't diss John Browning.
It's not a clip. It's a magazine.
Is it?
A clip is a...
Type of
damage, Josh. Also, you could just have a belt full of bullets and put it in a Tommy gun.
Do they have Tommy guns too?
You could put it in a machine gun. The German water-cooled machine gun that they used at the Battle of the Somme had been invented by then.
Well, fuck. I should have Wikipedia'd this shit before I said anything to them. I apologize.
You look like an uneducated dumbass right now.
Like, yeah. Oh, boy.
It's okay. He thinks
Gifford just loves his guns.
Gifford thinks they're Yetis.
Does really, yeah, that, does that not make anybody else nervous how quickly he jumped on that? I'm a little bit I don't know.
Guns.ru.
Wait, is that real?
I didn't like make that up. I used it as a research link when I worked for the state.
Guns.ru?
Yeah, world.guns.ru.
Okay, because guns.ru, this shit's Russian.
Well, it goes. Yeah, it. Never mind. Go back to Ethan.
Ethan, you need to make zombies.ru if that's not
a Russian.
ru.a.zombies.
Man,
oh Jesus, derailed.
That's the last 2 minutes, because we all sound dumb.
Hey, Gifford, and we don't sound dumb for the rest of the podcast. Yeah.
Gifford's got another game. With
wait, I do.
Yeah,
I played another game. Oh, Bastion. That's right. Bastion is sweet.
Play it.
Yeah, play
next.
It.
Agreed.
Next.
Agree.
All right, it's been.
It's been a while since it came out. And
what are your lasting impressions? I mean, like, we've got the full review up on the site. Cole and I talked the hell up out of this game, but let's get your, like, looking back impressions now that you've...
My looking back impressions were I played a bunch of other shit, which was cool, but I should have been playing Bastion. That game is incredible, and it is worth playing just to hear the narrator, who is the best narrator ever, perhaps in, yeah, probably in all media.
Whoa. Morgan Freeman out? Really?
James Earl Jones is out. What? That's how fucking awesome the narrator is in that.
That's ridiculous.
You're fucking high. The gameplay is great. All the weapons, I mean, well, Cole called it. Like, the weapons are all still fun to use the whole game. The storyline is great. Yeah, you can fall off the sides, but you have to work at it.
The enemies are cool. Like, the variety of enemies.
Playing New Game Plus.
The variety of the enemies and the story of the enemies. And, like, they really thought out everything.
Yeah.
It's badass.
I love when you can see the attention to detail, and it doesn't happen with some of these smaller games. They don't usually have the time to do that, and that's why I think Bastion just kind of stands out that way. And
looks absolutely beautiful.
Gifford, what weapons were your go-to weapons, I'd say, before the end?
Oh, liquid-cooled Browning submachine gun.
That was one of my favorite ones, but I really liked the rifle. I'm blanking on the actual name, but I really liked that.
The carbine, that was it.
The carbine, yeah, thank you. I liked that a lot, and I normally have the carbine and the brusher pike, and or the bellows, whatever the hell the bellows were
called. Oh, the flamethrower?
Yeah, and like the last weapon that you don't know what it is.
Yeah.
I guess we're not talking about that.
That's why I said before the end.
It was okay, but I honestly preferred the carbine.
Cool. No, I think it's cool that, I know Cole and I played through with different weapons and you played through with different weapons than me. Cause once I figured out, oh, I can carry two guns. That's, I had a lot of fun with just the pistol and the shotgun. I went old school with it.
Oh, when you get the shotgun leveled up, it's pretty freaking sweet.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's really satisfying to level up all the items and stuff. So, and then you played through the second time, right? You beat the New Game Plus.
I'm curious as to how your post New Game Plus score is so much higher than mine.
I played.
Like, I literally don't know. I'm like, how the. But, yeah. And had I not just gotten Deus Ex and Gears of War 3, I would probably be going for a third playthrough.
Well, I do have all the achievements. Did you crack that?
Yeah, I've got all the achievements. All
right. I didn't know if that made a difference. But
I may be missing one of the...
You're doing the? Did you do the challenge rooms, too?
Yeah, have to do that.
I'll bet Lacey just kicked my ass on the challenge rooms.
I think that's probably what it was.
There was a good 24-hour period where I was obsessed with that game. So, anyway, let's move on. We're gonna let Josh talk a little bit more because we're never mind. What's your game, Josh?
Am I supposed to say thank you?
Yes.
Like, assholes. I played more. God damn it! Why me? I played some more Dead Island. So that I'm trying to think of things to say. Yep. I'm trying to think of things to say about the game that doesn't make me look like a weirdo or something.
Good luck.
Yeah. So we were really playing the game. Again, this is a three-player co-op session. And that's the only way I've played the game so far. A little bit with two, but I haven't played any single player, and I don't think I would. Progressed a little bit. Didn't just sit around and, chop up bodies and stuff. Actually did some missions. There's a lot of side quests in that game that are... some of them are not super hot, like super compelling. Like, oh, go grab me these five... Collect these five things and bring it back to me. And then you do it, and he goes, oh, that's pretty cool. Hey, bring me five more, and I'll give you some more XP and cash. And it's... I always get caught off... Like, for some reason, I think... Because maybe I'm wrong. I thought there were some of those missions in the game that actually had some real progress, but twice now I've been kind of suckered into those, where I went, God damn it, if I'd known that, I wouldn't have done this. That's a pretty big kind of world as far as, I mean, it's not maybe quite, GTA size, but that is a big ass island, and there's just way too many nooks and crannies that
you just don't want to go down because.
Heyo.
Yeah, it's fun though. I mean, right now we're in we've gone into a new environment in the game that I don't think they showed in any of like the trailers and all that stuff. So if you haven't played it, you might not have seen the city. It's like a city, dense tropical town of abodes, and it's infinitely scarier at this point, because normally you're roaming around this island. Maybe you're in a truck. Half the time you're in a truck, probably. And it's pretty safe. You can always run. You can sprint. You can get away from stuff. You see stuff coming, usually, from far enough away to be prepared. And now it's, like, you know, it's more kind of tense, I guess. It's never like Left 4 Dead, where you just get rushed by, like, 500 zombies and they're run at you full speed. It's never quite that bad, but you get some like really big tough guys that are hard to take down, and there's you can get surrounded pretty easy. But there's not a whole lot of penalty for dying in that game, because especially in co-op, at least, you somebody goes down, they respawn pretty close to you, and you lose a little bit of cash. That's it. so that takes away a little bit of the tension. But like I said last week about the game, it's really just kind of an asshole simulator. You just go through and you just, you know, just like, how can I break the game or twist the game rules around and just like have goofy fun and like, oh, hey, look at that thing. I bet I can jump over it or jump off this cliff, or, you know, like, let's try to drive the truck up these stairs.
Is that kind of ultimately the draw, though? Like, after a while? I know the game has, it's huge as far as how long it takes to. It's a big time sink, but now when you said that, it's like kind of goofy fun, and it's, you know, that open world style to it. Like, I just started thinking, like, I'm really excited for Saints Row 3, and that's what I want it to fill my goofy fun part of my library.
Yep,
and
yep, that's exactly how I felt about Saints Row 2. That's another game I really only ever enjoyed it co-op, and it was just because, and I don't care about the characters in Dead Island. I don't care really what happens in the story. None of that it matters at all. It's just fun just running around in this big open world and, you know, just trying to stay alive and see the next thing. And yeah, it's really, that's the exact same experience.
Well, I mean, I just wonder now, it's competing with Saints Row in my head. So I didn't think about that before.
Corollary, serious question. Ethan, mainly directed to you. If you jump off a cliff on a zombie infested island and you don't destroy your brainstem, do you turn into a zombie? And if so, are you still effective as a zombie?
No.
Effective.
Okay.
Simple answer. I can explain it, but it's too higher thinking for,
you know, this is only a 3-hour podcast. Yeah, so
we don't have enough time.
I'll be curious if I end up getting that after I get through Gears, because that just opened my eyes.
And Deus Ex.
I still have that. I bought that just because it was $20 off. So.
Oh, and you don't have Gears 3. That's right.
Shut. Oh my god. he's also logged into the game right now. Like, I
is he? Oh man.
I've wrapped.
I just paused it when I came out for the podcast.
Yeah, I have wrapped her up in the corner. Just as it reminded me, Gifford has Gears of War 3. You don't. That's what it says right now.
Fuck you.
Hey, you're playing it just as much as we are right now too.
So, fuck off. Ultimate recommendation on Dead Island, though, is going to be buy it at the same time a friend buys it, or buy two copies, give it to someone else you know will play with you. And I would honestly just kind of wait till maybe it all blows over. Like, get it next year when it's $20 or something like that.
All right.
That's probably my recommendation. I'm having fun with it, but it's I'm glad I didn't pay $60.
Yeah, I just I know how much – if I really – put in the time that I want to that game, it's going to be taking away from others. And right now, like, if it's just kind of the distraction type of game, you know, to me, that's kind of a spring pickup.
Yep.
Things are kind of a little less calm, but on the other side of things, I'm really happy that it's selling as well as it is. I always like to see other developers, other publishers kind of get some attention, especially leading into this holiday season. So that's kind of cool. So
hopefully Techland doesn't use that money to then go make another Call of Juarez game.
Yeah.
That would be just a bad idea.
Ethan, let's go to hell.
What? Really?
Right now.
I do a lot of good deeds. I don't know if I'm going to. Oh, that's you're that's a tie-in to my site. Yeah.
It's called a segue.
Bad segue. Yeah. Sorry, guys.
Not a segue now.
It's a I really fucked that up. Dante's Inferno is a game about hell, which.
Why did you start playing this game?
I have again. No idea. That's my. Actually, I can talk about it, but it'll just upset me a little bit. But when I pre-ordered Gears, it like popped up for like $12, and I was like, oh, I'll just pick that up, and hopefully, you know, it'll give me something to do before Gears of War 3 comes in, because I was expecting that today. But that's a white wine, total white wine, so I'm not gonna go into that. But you know, actually, I've had a lot of fun with this game. I loved Dante's Inferno. The parts of it that I skimmed through, they were great, or the idea of it. Actually, it was a picture book that I read of it, so I didn't actually read the actual poem. But I got the gist of it. Seemed pretty cool.
I like books with pictures.
Yeah, no, they're the best ones. Actually, this was really well illustrated. So for anybody out there who really doesn't have the time or the motivation or patience or attention span to read.
Or capability,
yes, because there are some of you out there that don't have that. But this video game isn't really a whole lot like the book. But it's actually a really clever excuse to make a video game about hell. I think. I mean, I think they could have just made a video game about hell and not had it, reference Dante's Inferno. But
yeah.
The overall,
it's like the mystery of Orpheus. If Orpheus had a scythe instead of
It's a really good, video games are all about having levels, and so is Dante's Inferno. And so I kind of feel like that was, the brainstorming session. Like, video games have levels, and this poem has levels, and let's just combine them, and there's hell and shit. And I mean, it's great. I mean, they do a really good job. I think one of the things that people miss on this game, because, there's a lot of comparisons to God of War 3. Yes, it's basically the same game, except probably not as good. I haven't played God of War 3 yet. But I really like the kind of evil side of it. You see some really... I mean, they don't beat around the bush in terms of portraying what would actually be in hell. I mean, you're fighting...
And by bush, you mean there's vagina boss.
Yes. Yeah, there's... Well, there's...
there's lust.
Let's talk about the boss that has little... little demon babies crawling out of its nipples.
And she's a giant titan.
Ethan's like, I was trying to avoid that topic.
Yeah. Let's talk about that, and then let's hear you say that this is a decent.
Well, that's what happens. But Ethan's making a good point, because it's the only good point about Dante's Inferno. So keep going.
Well, I was gonna say, I mean, it's button mashing fun. If you didn't play God of War 3 and this was your way of playing an action game, then great. You play God of War 3, it's really not worth your time, but. It's just almost like I I'm in a level not but half an hour in the game, and babies, literal babies, like the sacred, human, creature that people don't really trample on too much in terms of movies or video games, come crawling out of these holes with blades on their hands, attacking me. And I'm just like, holy fucking shit. Like, this is really extreme. And just to see, souls falling down from Earth into the fiery pit below, if I wasn't so sleepy, I would have gone to church that weekend. I mean, that's basically what it amounted to. But,
go ahead.
I don't. It's just, in reading other people's reviews of the game, I get it. It's a simple game. There's not, it doesn't have those scenes that God of War 3 had. It does not have that. But if you really like that whole just, hey, this is hell, we're going for it vibe, I mean, I think they did a pretty good job on that. I think that it, for the amount of money I paid for it, it wasn't a bad deal at all. And I mean, it's fun. I mean, I'm having a good time with it,
You got your $17 worth. I don't think I got my $60 worth.
Well, no, I got.
Oh, so really, you paid full price?
Dude, I love God of War. I love Visceral Games. And so.
Ooh.
I took a gamble.
Looking at it, I think that, again, if God of War 3 didn't exist, this game probably would have done a lot better. But it just seemed like reading other people's reviews, it was like, oh, we already played this game about a couple months.
There's, There's something though about they didn't get the gameplay right to make it fun, because it becomes so much of a chore, and there's just like you kind of lose your sense of progression.
Yeah.
Like, as amazing as their hell design is, and I think that's the star of the game, and especially those first three levels, it's just,
oh yeah,
what are they going to come up with next type of that was what was pushing me forward, but the later levels aren't as intricate, but you kind of just get lost and don't know where you're at in the level to know. Like, there was no sense of progression tying the levels together. It was much more of a mess than it needed to be. And then, as crazy as some of the hellish shit is, you become numb to it. So it's almost there's a fine line there between making it just scary and twisted as hell, and now nothing will affect me because there's babies coming out of that boss's nipples.
Well, and they hit you with a lot early on. is the pacing of it is pretty bad, I think.
Yeah.
You literally cross the River Styx, you pull off the head of
Karen.
Yes, thank you. I mean it's there's a lot of intensity, but yeah, I mean you lose the pacing, and literally once you get towards the final levels of the game, it's just like those little, challenge missions that some of those games had. I remember in Darksiders when you very early on in the game when you had to kill 50 creatures within 5 minutes and stuff. I mean, the later levels feel more like that than they do actually well-developed levels, and it almost feels like maybe they ran out of ideas, or they just were like, man,
they blew their load early.
Huh?
They blew their load.
We're talking about a classy game here. You don't need to bring in.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I heard babies crawling out of nipples.
Right. That's
art, man.
Yeah, it was. I would love to see this game. I'd love to see a concept like this, because I'm really intrigued by the idea of hell. Just not knowing what exactly is going on, and just.
And that's it's a daunting task to take on, like, as a level designer.
It is.
Seriously.
But you've got so much potential. There's really no limitations with hell. And I almost feel like at times in Dante's Inferno, they felt as if they needed to make a hell that was, that somebody could traverse. You know what I mean? And it's almost like when you're dealing with hell, I mean, hell could be anything. Hell could be lava, lava penguins. I mean, it could,
yeah,
it could literally be anything. And they almost,
that is my hell.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of Beckett's hell, which is hell is other people. But
well, yeah, that is, and there are a lot of people in this. They're screaming and languishing and stuff like that. But
so you're saying hell is too much of a game.
It just felt like maybe they were almost constrained by Dante's Inferno,
yeah,
as opposed to being able to work, like, to use it to... Because it was almost like they took some liberties at points, but then they were like, oh, shit, no, what are we doing? We have to backtrack, and we have to maintain the vibe of the vibe of that poem. And I just, I think they could have just gone with it and just said, fuck.
There's a lot, and I was just thinking, there's a lot of other video game characters that I'd want to take through there before being tied to like the Dante's story. Like,
yeah,
they were kind of constricted by it. And because
like Bionic Commando.
Yeah. That could be fun.
I'd like to see Sonic the Hedgehog.
I was just thinking Sonic the Hedgehog.
Really?
Yeah. Cause those games are kind of hell.
Yeah.
Oh, nice. All right. Let's go to Cole's next game.
Well, this should have followed Solar too. But Insanely Twisted Shadow Planet is a game that's downloadable on Xbox Live Arcade. It was part of the Summer of Arcade, a shining member of the Summer of Arcade. It is a side-scrolling sort of Metroidvania style of game where you're a UFO and you have little ship upgrades that help you traverse the levels. It's another great looking game, like Bastion. It definitely has a cool little art style to it. And it's more based on exploration than fighting. You actually really don't have to fight any of the enemies in the level. You do have to fight the bosses to move on, but the actual enemies you can just bypass if you feel like it. You don't get any rewards or punishments if you beat them or don't beat them. So, I don't know. I haven't finished it yet. I actually just remembered that I had it when I was trying to think of games that I've played.
So I need to go back and finish that, but I really liked it. It's a fun little downloadable title, and almost like seems like this whole summer was just downloadable title after downloadable title that I played, and it was like a summer of really
solid downloadable titles.
I mean, probably the best or second best Summer of Arcade lineup that they've had, outside of the Trials and Shadow Complex year.
I found out that I didn't even play or buy the highest selling Summer of Arcade game, because that Toy Soldiers game, like,
are you serious?
Yeah, sold more than Bastion.
Who loved Toys? Coop? Who was it that loved Toy Soldiers?
Tommy from Top Hat Sasquatch helps us out every now and then.
That's crazy.
I'm the same way. I'm probably like halfway through Shadow Planet, but I hit a moment where I've been playing it in such small doses. I really just want to sit down with it and beat it all in one sitting, because I think it's like a 4 or 5 hour game.
Yeah, it's not very long.
And it's just the art style is so great, and it's a game you can get absorbed in. I think it just kind of deserves my focus. So that's been preventing me from beating the game. And but it's kind of a smaller dose of Metroidvania. It's just interesting to use that genre when you're flying a little alien ship around everywhere. Mm-hmm. And because I didn't get the scope of the game until about an hour into it. And then you start to see how the levels all work and how you unlock certain areas with certain gadgets and that kind of thing. So,
yeah, and I think there's no, you don't have to battle like the regular enemies throughout the level, but I think the boss fights are pretty creative and, you don't necessarily see that in downloadable games where you might have, your tried and true boss fights, but I think they added a little extra with the different gadgets and weapons that you have to make them interesting. So it's cool. You guys should check it out.
Yeah, definitely get the demo. Give it a shot. Last game of the evening. I think I mentioned this last week, but the backlog game that I finally unwrapped from last year, Majin and the Forsaken Kingdom. And I have phonetic notes on how to pronounce Majin because it looks kind of weird. But this is a Namco Bandai game that I got pretty close after, or right around the same time as I got Odyssey to the West. Enslaved, Odyssey to the West.
Yeah.
And kind of thought Namco Bandai was onto something here with some fun adventure titles. And Majin isn't perfect, but it if you give it a chance and kind of ignore some of its technical issues and the fact that the voice acting is so terrible, that like there are just little technical moments like that kind of pull you out of the experience. If you can get past that, which it took me about 4 hours, it's a fun experience, especially for a budget title now. Like I would, it's definitely too buggy and too doesn't have the levels of polish of a full recommendation, but it pulls enough from kind of the magical side of what I liked about Shadows of the Colossus, and it pulls a lot from Zelda, and I think it's trying to actually be like the buddy version of Zelda, because basically you're an adventurer. The world has been overtaken with this darkness that has infected all the people, and there used to be this kind of friendly ogre that used to protect all the humans, but when we got absorbed by darkness, we started attacking him, and that's the Majin creature. And he gets locked away, but your character can, for whatever reason, can speak to nature and understand the Majin, so you buddy up and try to get rid of the darkness in the world. And so that's the kind of magical story that's going on. And but it's broken down into basically 4 or 5 different areas that the world's broken up into, and you have to kill the bosses to unlock the door to the next area, and then you can go back to the previous areas once you've started to power up and get new skills and that kind of thing. So because basically the Majin, the interesting thing is your character is just, normal adventurer dude. He's pretty weak in combat, so you have to kind of you rely on the Majin to do most of the damage, and you do a lot of – when he damages enemies to a certain level, you can come in for a finishing move. Like, he'll, like, throw you up in the air, and you kind of jump in and stab him with your weapon, and you that's how you kill most of the enemies. And so the Majin also has, like, magical powers like fire and lightning and that sort of thing. And so you give him commands to utilize those to stun enemies so you can do damage. So it's once the action kind of hits its stride, it becomes pretty fun because it's kind of rare where you're not the badass.
Does the game build up like a relationship between the two?
Yeah, and it does a good job. Like,
I was going to say, because it sounds like he's kind of a slave, a magical slave.
No, he wants to help you both.
Okay.
Both have good intentions. No, he like the Majin like feels really bad for the humans and he wants
to. Is the Majin a race or is it just the one?
It's just the one guy. Okay. Yeah, he's like to some societies he's a demon and that kind of thing, but he's just a big kind of lovable ogre dude, and so he kind of has like he doesn't speak all that well and kind of. I don't know. He sounds kind of dumb, but there's just this level of empathy that you automatically have for the guy. And so that's where the bond between the characters kind of builds. So you do, you know, they kind of overplay it at points because there's this thing that just keeps happening, annoys the hell out of me, that I thought was funny. The first three times we're running around the world and he'll be behind you. And he's also huge. He's Colossus kind of size. So, so I'll be running through the world and he's following me and he'll like trip and he'll fall and he'll go oh, and I thought it was hilarious the first three times. But it happens like all the time. It's just okay, I get it. That like they try to make him a big friendly creature and
do you think you're gonna finish it, or I mean, are you having a good time with it?
I'm like three quarters of the way done. I think I'm going to finish it, but it's just running into all those other games. So I'm probably 2 hours away from being done. I want to finish it because I'm so close, and I was fighting with the game through about half of it. Like I was like, this game's stupid. No, I'm having fun. I'm having fun now. I like the characters. I'm curious to see how the story goes because there's a lot of like humans behind the cause of the darkness stuff going on that. I would like to see it through, but at the same time, there are better games to play right now, so that's what I'm
Yeah, I mean, so I guess another question I have is, this game kind of got, you know, swept under the rug, like Enslave did. How does it compare, not necessarily the same game style or anything like that, but like, I don't know, how compare the two in terms of your enjoyment of them?
Oh, I loved Enslave a lot more. Like, I like Majin. It's a different game. And I really like adventure games, and like this, the buddy adventure style is kind of neat, just because it's different. But it's not great, and I wouldn't recommend it for more than a budget pickup. So,
okay.
Yeah. I'm kind of interested in this game now because I know that it was on a weekly deal that we'd done, you know, a couple weeks back, but I kind of overlooked it. But I mean, just I kind of like that big goofy character because I kind of feel like if I was big, I'd be a goofy character, but I'm short. So I'm a short, goofy character, which is not as appealing.
He's a short Colossus, if that helps.
Yeah,
I feel like he's a huge dude, but there's got to be bigger ones than him. So.
Yeah.
Well, your brothers Colossus. Are both bigger than you, and they're both sort of goofy characters.
So. That is true. That is
true. Moses, the Moses brothers in the Forsaken Kingdom.
Ethan right. would be like the hyperactive imp. Except you're not an imp, you're taller than I am.
Imp Colossus. Anyway, that's going to do it for our games discussion this month. We're going to wrap this show up. First, some HorribleNight.com updates. Josh Lee is hard at work to make some of these dreams come true, but we should have. I'm putting it at a 75% possibility.
Yes.
A lot of random number. We should have a live episode, a live recording of the Horrible Show next Tuesday night. So we'll be promoting that on the show. I mean, we'll be promoting that on the site and giving you some Twitch TV links to try to follow along. And so we're going to give that a shot because we're experimenting with some new technology for two very big events coming up in October and November, which we will tell you more about. But just kind of stay tuned on the site and give us some feedback as we fall on our face technically, because it's going to happen. But it's going to be fun. It's going to be worth it. And lots of good things happening in October. That's going to do it for the normal part of the episode. For those of you interested in our threesomes of the week, we will be back after a little break here. Otherwise, The Horrible Show will be back next Wednesday. And thanks for listening. We will see you then.
Ethan, you can enter my Tough Mudder anytime.
Was that about ass to mouth? Jeez.
It's a good start to the threesomes.
It's always a good start to the threesomes.
In case we need a proof as to why we move this to the end of the show, human centipede references to kick things off. Hey, Josh.
Yo.
Let's dive into your threesomes of the week.
Don't dive into anything after that. Oh, well, so what I've been doing, things.
Stuff?
Besides the game. I pretty much talked about all the games I played.
Oh, I forgot about this. So, wait, anyway, a little break here. So, we talked about of the games we've been playing.
Oh, yeah.
Threesomes, we're going to mention two things that have had our attention. And then for our game of the week, we've just kind of picked random games from the PlayStation 2 era. So, anything or on the other consoles at that time. Just, you know, just to mention them. And see what happens. So, all right, go ahead, Josh.
First off, I watched a movie. This was last night, and Big Trouble in Little China is
yeah.
A movie. This is a movie that's kind of near and dear to me.
Cool.
Aww. Watched this many times when I was a kid. And
Kurt Russell on a Mac 10.
Mm-hmm. And blue jeans tucked into his boots. And a tank top, and a Harley Davidson hat, and a mullet. So this is the thing about this movie. I had really fond memories, and I can't remember the last time I watched it. It must have been, it's been a few years, but I'm pretty sure I saw it as an adult.
I sense a damn shame coming up.
Oh God. I made my girlfriend watch it. I said, you have to see this movie, like, you know, once in your life.
Stop abusing your girlfriend.
Yeah. Well, this was abuse because
You know what? She if she would have picked up Gears of War 3 at the apartment complex office, she
would have
to take the
abuse. She's like, evil Josh Lee would have never done this to me.
At least I gave her a choice. I'm like, Big Trouble in Little China or The Stairs? Which one? Your choice? Oh, man. I don't know what to say.
You've said it.
I don't want to say anything bad about it, but
I'm sorry, man. It's all right.
It's not a good movie.
What?
It's just bad.
It's a fun movie.
Yeah, you know, kind of, but
how is it as a comedy?
The jokes are so
hysterical.
Fucking bad. They are so insultingly bad. And I love shit. I love stupid shit like that. I like movies like that. And I don't know what. I must have been high. I don't even know. I don't know what it is. It's not good. Don't watch it. It'll ruin your childhood.
My childhood has slightly stronger foundations than Big Trouble in Little China.
Oh,
mine
good,
doesn't.
Good
other ones of, as fortunate as you, Mr. Gears of War 3.
Yeah.
Shut the fuck up, Gifford.
No childhood stress.
Maybe he can afford our domain fees.
Yeah, no shit. Aren't you like a lawyer or something? go be rich and play Gears of War somewhere.
Class warfare on the War of the Shield.
So that's all I have to say about that. And then I discovered, and people have told me about the Ben Heck show before, and I know who Ben Heck is, and I've seen some of his beautiful work, such as the Bill Paxton pinball machine. I had never actually watched his show. It's on Revision 3. It's a website.
Oh, cool. I like
Revision 3. Or you can.
I think it's all on Roku, too, I think.
Yep. It's got channels on like all those Roku and XBMC and all that stuff, which is where I saw it. But man, that is really good. That dude, he's so damn smart. He's so like nerdy and smart. I love him.
It's like the art guy. He's dead now, but you know
Bob Ross.
Yes, it's like Bob Ross with electronics. He'll be like, oh, this doesn't look quite right. We're going to lay this down an 18th of an inch and it'll work perfectly.
He does have a lot of happy accidents.
Can we not? Yeah. Can we not talk about Bob Ross? That's just, I miss that. I miss him a lot. Like that was,
he's still on reruns, man.
I know, but it's not the same, you know?
It's not the same as being alive, watching videos of someone.
I think I'm on like strike 19.
I know.
So yeah, that was cool.
All right, random game to give a shout out to.
I can't even say it. It was so I don't know why. I don't know why. Like, he said PS2 era, and I was thinking like, oh, PlayStation 2 games. You know, I got like 400 sweet games. I could just talk about some shit that we've all talked about a million times. But then he's like, oh, what other stuff in that era, like Xbox. And the first game that popped in my head, because it's the first game I saw for the Xbox One, was Star Wars Obi-Wan.
What do you remember about it? Anything?
I remember a
did
low
you play it?
I watched someone else play it. Okay. I might, you know what? I might have had the controller in my hand for a few minutes. I watched it for a while because, you know, again, that was like the first Xbox game I had. This, it was somebody at work got one and then brought it in and hooked it up in like the office in the back, and it was there was like 5-6 of us crowded around. Like, oh man, what has he got? And I don't know what else was out at the time, maybe like Silent Hill or something. And but he's like, oh, Obi-Wan, and he's a big Star Wars fan. We're like, oh, okay, this man, oh man, this might be cool. Oh god. It was like third person, over the shoulder, but like everything about it looked bad. Like the camera was bad, the action was really bad. It was really low polygon. Obi-Wan.
I think it kind of epitomized like that Star Wars era of the prequels, and just when you realize this isn't going to turn out well, and like the games started to try to build off those characters, and
yeah,
that game was like pretty, I wouldn't say hyped, but like had a lot of money behind it and turned out terrible. So
it was really bad. I mean, it's like a turd wrapped in bologna. Like you know, going into it, you know it's probably not going to taste good, but you bite into it and it's like way worse than you could have imagined. It's like, hey, this is really bad.
It's better than Masters of Terras Kasai.
The
Star Wars fighting game.
Yeah. I don't know about that. That has like some comedy value.
But is that worse than a turd wrapped in bologna, though?
That's like a turd wrapped in turd.
What we should do, we should get some of the horrible wives together and make them play Star Wars Obi-Wan and then Masters of Terror and have them tell us which one's worse.
Because what we want to do is make our significant others hate video games.
Yeah.
Or in Ethan's case, even more.
Yeah.
I mean, it's up to them how long they play. It could be 2 seconds, but just like initial
that would be
impressions.
Really funny.
Which one is worse?
Yeah.
We should just have a Star Wars prequel night. We'd watch the movies. We'd play the video games.
Play some Pod Racer.
Mm-hmm. Talk about the prequels.
Drink.
You know what? The prequels. Are you high?
That's the idea, buddy.
Yeah, that's we're talking about really bad ideas.
Oh.
Are you listening?
No, he's not.
Get the fuck out.
Are we getting high? Is that?
Ethan.
No.
Threesomes.
Oh, yes. I have them. Hey, speaking of Dante's Inferno, did you know that there are gates to hell, at least 6 of them across the Earth, a lot of them in
London?
The southern part of the United States, that you can
I watch Buffy the Vampire Slayer. Hello.
Well, yeah. London. Well, the History Channel had a, I guess maybe a salute to Buffy? I don't know.
It's not on anymore, so it is a history.
Yeah, exactly. But
Josh,
yeah, I guess
it's a modern day prophet.
Yeah,
like Joseph Smith.
It was a pretty interesting show. I actually had already heard every story they had because I'm way ahead of the way ahead of the game. Because I am
smart
the paranormal investigator of the planet. I do protect the Earth from hell. So I knew where these places were at. There's actually one in Brazil, Indiana, but they didn't really talk about it. But just if anybody was wondering, there's a train tunnel in Brazil, Indiana, and if you go inside of it, you'll go to hell. So avoid Brazil, Indiana.
You should just avoid Brazil, Indiana altogether.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's a nice town. Just watch for train tunnels, abandoned ones especially. But this was a cool show. You know, apparently in Russia, these Russians, because that's who lives in Russia, dug a mine. And they decided that they wanted to see whether or not there's a river running underneath of it. And so they lowered a microphone down. And when they brought it back up, or actually when they listened to the recording, there was all this screaming and the temperature was really high. Supposedly it's a big myth, but it's just kind of interesting. You know, it makes me a little bit nervous because I'm used to portals to hell, but gates seem a little bit more, you know, put together. I mean, you got a gate, you're serious. You know what I mean? A portal, it's just there. But a gate means you're established, and I just really don't want our demons to be established because that means they're just going to waltz right in here, you know? No one ever suspects a gate. So, but yeah, I would recommend watching that on the History Channel because the most important history is the history that protects you from getting killed by Satan. Moving on to Walker, Texas Ranger. Amazing show. I mean, holy shit.
That show in jail.
It was, Chuck Norris is the most humble human being on the planet as far as I'm concerned. Because Walker, Texas Ranger is basically his gift to people that don't know how awesome he is. I have never in my life seen a show that included the storyline of Batman with a boxing montage coupled with a gang fight over drugs that featured a make-believe drug called Angel Kisses sold by a drug who himself was named Angel.
Angel Kisses.
And to top it all off, the ghost mother of a boxer appeared to get him through the final rounds of a fight that he was way behind on the judge's scorecard. And she appeared right when he needed her to coax him into getting the knockout victory. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. And very few people know that Chuck Norris won, I think, an Emmy for the theme song to Walker, Texas Ranger.
What?
Yeah. Yeah, it's a good song. So, it's amazing. I feel like not enough people appreciate that show. That show is just, you know, basically, I feel like Chuck Norris wakes up in the morning, looks down at his penis, and he says, you know, you're just not big enough today, so I'm going to write an episode about how awesome I am. I mean, it's just, it's un-fucking believable.
Wait, what? I got it. I followed him.
I got it, you.
Yeah. As a side reference, you need to watch the episode where Chuck Norris, as Walker, Texas Ranger, but we all know that Walker, Texas Ranger just equates to Chuck Norris, learns how to pilot a jetpack within minutes. And everybody knows that piloting a jetpack is more complicated than flying an airplane, programming in C, and dancing, you know? I mean, it's unbelievable.
What a
wow!
What random game from the PlayStation 2 era?
Chuck Norris had a game called Walker. I'm just kidding. Blue Stinger. Blue Stinger. Holy shit! That game was awesome in a really stupid way. Everybody thought Resident Evil had really bad voice acting. Just YouTube Blue Stinger. Just go out and do it right now.
I'm scared to.
Oh, you should be because it's absolutely horrible.
Should I turn Safe Search on?
Yeah, don't do that. That protects you. but no, it was a fun game. I miss the Dreamcast. Actually, there was a lot. I had a lot of good times with the Dreamcast. I didn't finish this game, but all you need to know is that it's kind of like a survival horror game. If you know, people that did Resident Evil really didn't take themselves that seriously. So you could literally buy a T-shirt that gives you the powers of a sumo wrestler. So very Japanese. Very Japanese.
Poor Dreamcast.
I love that system. I love
that.
Yeah,
me too, man. I got fond memories.
I got nothing on the Dreamcast.
Zombies Revenge.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah, Zombies.
That was good, right?
Josh Lee, I could kiss you. Hell yeah.
Please do.
My threesomes start off with the first two are actually from the Orange Indie Festival that was this weekend, which is basically a big party gathering for arts and music and fashion and all kinds of awesome
around and guys there. Like me that don't fit in at all.
I don't think I fit in either, but
which I missed out on because my phone's text function was wonky.
So I wanted to give a shout out to Leet Motif, which is actually spelled 1337 motif.com. He's a woodworker that makes various woodworking things with video game tied into him. So I bought a set of Space Invaders coasters, which are pretty fucking sweet. And he has this badass shelving that are Tetris blocks that are unbelievable that I need to own someday. So, actually,
did you say shelving Tetris blocks?
Yes.
Yeah. I just wanted to make sure I heard that right.
Oh, it was awesome.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
And some really badass cutting boards. I was trying to justify why I would need a Pac-Man cutting board.
I was going
to
say, if I cut, I would have one of those. And I just don't cut things.
It's to go with your Pac-Man Cookie Monster wallpapering thing.
Oh, motif. Where were you that night? I could have justified a lot more purchases.
If you don't cut things, anyway. Ethan, what do? Rip them?
I mean, how do you? Just with my bare hands.
I would stare, get really angry. He stares at them until they break. Never mind. Music-wise, I was kind of blown away by Rhinoceros Beetle, first because they're called Rhinoceros Beetle, and they were...
giant beetle.
And the stages are actually kind of separated with, like, the techno-electronic music is outside the building, and then they have two stages for what you assume are, like, the local indie rock bands. And Rhinoceros Beetle is kind of a mixture of techno and indie rock, and it was awesome. It was kind of, it also kind of had a little bit of chiptunes flavor to it. So, mind was blown, and their logo was cool, and their name was Rhinoceros Beetle, so it kind of stuck out.
they were at Orange too. You said,
yeah. Both those are Orange, and I'm gonna link you to Rhinoceros Beetle's Bandcamp page, and you can hear some of their stuff. So,
cool.
Sounded pretty cool live. Random game, Shadow Man for the Nintendo 64. I don't even know if that's That works. And the only reason I wanted to point it out is because it's a weird voodoo game based around when Acclaim had a lot of confidence in their Turok engines. And the game was basically unplayable, but, you know, you kind of suffer through a lot in that era. So
you're in the wrong era, by the way.
Didn't they?
That's PlayStation era, not PlayStation 2.
Yeah.
Okay. No, I know what I did because I had a GameCube game and I... Well, my bad. So I'll go with my original GameCube game, Rogue Squadron. Not to have two Star Wars games, but that game is the game that made me cave to buy a GameCube, and
it looked so good.
It looked so good. It was so hard, and I think I maybe played it for an hour total. So it was like the system seller that I played for an hour. That's what
it looked just like the movies.
Those
Can I make a comment about Voodoo?
Yes.
Don't trust it.
Good advice.
What about Santeria?
No.
No?
No.
Gifford.
God damn it.
Santeria. Subject 12. So I've been reading a whole bunch of basically sort of comic book-esque storylines turned into novels. Not with, trademark DC characters, but set in worlds where superheroes are real. And the best one I've read recently is called Subject 12, because the hero is sort of an anti-hero, and he's kind of a dick, but he also has a strong sense of morality, and it was really good. It's on Amazon, and if you want to pick something up, that if you're a comic fan, want to pick something up, that's maybe a little heavier and appears more respectable since you can read it on your Kindle than a comic book, grab that. On the other hand, if somebody gives you shit for reading a comic book, you should punch them anyway. I also...
Where'd you go?
Pregnant pause.
No, you. I'd love just for so everyone else knows this is written down in front of them.
I was letting the pregnant pause of "fuck you" if you make somebody for reading comic make fun of somebody for reading comic books sink in.
I know. I'm just being a dick.
What's new there?
Fuck you, Josh Lee. Even Josh Lee.
There we go.
Anyway, so even though I'm not the hugest hip hop fan, I really love Nerd, and they worked with Jay-Z on 99 Problems, but a bitch ain't one. And I listened to that about 6 times in a row the other day, just because somebody referenced it in an email, I think. And I was like, I've never heard that song. And then I listened to it, and I was like, Nerd was involved in this. This is awesome. That's it. That's It's part of my threesomes because that song is awesome.
Fair enough.
And Jay-Z now has 100 problems because a bitch is one of them.
A hot bitch. And,
yeah, well, yeah. I'm just saying.
Has a pregnant pause.
Is she pregnant? Is Beyonce pregnant?
Or a fake baby bump.
He better put her finger. He better put a ring on that. Ring on that. What is that song?
So informed.
And my random PlayStation 2 era shout out goes to Nightmare Creatures, because all of the other PlayStation 2 games that I or era games that I really loved, you've already heard me talk about. But Nightmare Creatures was a lot of fun because it was really bloody and it was sort of this strange. Well, it was a remake. I just learned that tonight. All
right. Well,
but from a PlayStation game, I played it on GameCube. But it was a fluid fighting slash horror game, and it was a lot of fun. Like killing demons, especially in 1834 London.
To be exact.
To be exact.
Okay, what we're gonna do since the Justin suck at this game, we're gonna pretend you're talking about Nightmare Creatures 2, because that was on the Dreamcast, which makes it fit in the era, because Nightmare Creatures 1 was a PlayStation 1.
Yeah, but it was released, but
Nightmare Creatures was re-released on the GameCube. I didn't have a Dreamcast, and I think it's one of the more overrated systems.
No, it was on the 64. That was the re-release.
Oh, sorry, 64.
Yeah, so yeah, we suck. So
I'm still
the worst video game website on the planet.
Cole, why don't you save us?
I'm going to save you all. Another movie in the string of movies that I thought looked good but didn't quite live up to my own personal hype, I guess. Adjustment Bureau.
How's that save us?
Because I'm going to get
Matt Damon movie save.
My video game choice will save you.
Okay.
So Ethan pretty much said it there. It wasn't that great. The other two movies were Source Code, which was okay. Didn't live up to what I thought it was going to be, and Limitless.
I'm glad somebody else didn't think that Source Code lived up to the hype.
It was I liked all three of those movies.
You what?
I liked all three of those movies.
Josh, you're not just... It didn't say we didn't like it. We said it didn't live up to the hype.
Yeah. What hype? No one...
I said my own personal...
People like Source Code's really good.
I said my own personal hype. I thought they looked good, and then I watched them, and they weren't as good as I thought they looked when I first saw them.
Josh Lee called me and said, you should watch Adjustment Bureau, Limitless, and Source Code. And he hyped it up for like half an hour afterwards.
If Limitless didn't have the narrator, it would have been better.
There was a narrator in that movie?
Yeah, he talked the whole goddamn movie.
I thought it was an invisible guy that nobody could see but me.
All three of those movies, they're not like major releases, so when I hear hype around them, it's just whether or not it's watchable, and Source Code turned out to be more watchable than I expected. That was the hype. Like, they aren't great movies, but
I mean, the Source Code is like 80 something percent on Rotten Tomatoes. Like, see, it's ridiculously high. And
Jake,
I was just like, holy shit.
Jake Gyllenhaal is a poor man's Matt Hiddle.
It's true.
Nice shout out to the dude in the room.
How much scotch has been poured?
Is he still there?
Yeah.
I forgot all about him. He should have said something.
He's reading a book about magic.
Magic slaves?
Do you play magic in your downtime, Ethan?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Okay, fair enough.
All right, cool. And then been watching Breaking Bad because it's on the Instant Play Netflix, first three seasons. I actually bought the first season not too long ago because I've been wanting to watch it really bad. And then, like, a week later, it was on Netflix. So that kind of sucks, but
classic.
The show is amazing. I've watched the first season by myself, and then I've been rewatching it with my wife, and she really likes it too. It's AMC is fucking amazing channel. They have some good shows on there. Breaking Bad, Mad Men, Walking Dead.
They should change their acronym then to FAC.
Fucking awesome channel.
Fuck you, AC.
Why are we shouting out to Jade Empire?
Because it's awesome. It was the second BioWare game I played, I think, after KOTOR, which is Knights of the Old Republic to all you people who are idiots and are young, I guess.
Wow.
Young idiots.
Man, I'm the dick?
Or you people that aren't Star Wars
nerds. Is that a rhetorical question?
I'm never a dick to the listeners.
You're on the podcast, aren't you?
Man.
Just kidding. I love good Josh Lee.
God damn it.
That's a big insult to everyone.
Yeah. So it was like, you know, I didn't play a whole lot of KOTOR, so this was my really first introduction to BioWare, and one of the only games I ever played on my Xbox, and it's a great game. I wish they would make a sequel, but they probably never will.
I can see him pulling it out of somewhere later. I get nothing. Hey, guys.
Did that get a re-release? An HD thing or something?
Oh, thanks.
I think it got, like, the PC release later or something, maybe.
Okay, yeah.
I'm talking out of my ass. I think that Nintendo 64 games.
Oh, it is on Xbox Live under the Xbox Originals download service for $15.
All right, that is going to do it for the horrible show. Hopefully next week we'll be coming to you live if Josh can get his shit together.
Live!
It'll be crazy, and hopefully you can show up on chat and distract us from staying on track. So that's the plan anyway.
That was a really horrible show, by the way.
Living up to the name. That's why I set the bar low when I named it. But horrible show. We'll be back either way next week. And thanks for listening. And we will see you next time. Later.
Bye.
Derp.